Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. Hanging out here.
Just waiting for Hugh to get back.
Yeah, I was wondering where he was. There he is. There's Hugh. He's back, ready to go.
That was Moshe's fault.
It was
Moshe's fault because I had to record some spots, right, and I did it. And then Moshe said, well, you got one more to record.
Well,
and I was like,
come
right,
on, Moshe.
Yeah, that's Moshe's fault.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
I have no problem throwing anybody else under the bus. It's not my
fault.
And if you're gonna blame anybody here for anything, I mean, Moshe's the easy person to blame.
Yeah,
because you blame Moshe, everybody they don't even question it. It's just like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was Moshe's fault.
Okay, that's fine. It's Moshe's fault.
Moshe had me cutting all them damn spots, man.
Yeah.
No, I got a job to do.
Yeah. Come on, Moshe.
Damn it.
Oh, come on. Moshe. Leave Hugh alone. I mean, leave him alone.
Ava walks in and says, hey, hate to do this. You got to go back.
So you got to go back and finish up.
I got to go back and finish the spot.
Now you're going to have Moshe waiting for the next 20
minutes.
All right.
It's his fault I was late to work.
Yeah, come on, Moshe.
He's got nothing better to do.
Time it out better. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in today. Obviously talking a lot about the Phillies and a lot about Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, a massive day yesterday. A home run, three doubles.
Massive.
All to the opposite field. And that's the best part of it. Is when Bryce is going, and you heard him in the cut we played earlier, refer to it as oppo. When he's going oppo, that means he's locked in, he's seeing the ball well, hitting it all over the field, and encouraging. I will say encouraging, but Kyle and Hugh, you two are on the side of the Phillies are back.
Yeah,
the lineup's fixed, a problem solved, we can all calm down now.
I mean, it's still a journey to be had, but... To me, what got me excited was when he said, I'm one of the best there is. I mean, he's not lying. But
he is.
When you hear him say it to me, that tells me that he's in a good space. You know, because he wasn't there before. He wasn't there when he came back initially from the wrist injury. So he's in a good space right now.
I don't know how you can't think that was the single most positive development we've seen from this team all season long.
He's afraid of love.
Single most positive development all season long?
Give me a better one.
He's afraid of love.
The starting pitching, over the last month.
So I initially
it's been
thought.
Incredible.
But hold on.
Kyle Schwarber's got like 30 bombs.
Wait a minute. We know what Schwarber was. We knew what Zach Wheeler was. I think we knew to an extent what Christopher Sanchez was. The Ranger thing, I think I'll give you, because we didn't know if he was more first half of last season Ranger or second half. I thought up to yesterday that the single most positive development was seeing that Ranger had what he had at the beginning of last season in him now again. But we hadn't seen this version of Bryce Harper all season. I think a lot of people were just resigned to the fact that we weren't going to ever get that version of Bryce.
It felt like he was trending like it was just going to be a rough season.
Yeah, and he is the best player on the team, besides maybe Zach Wheeler.
Well, no, he is the best.
He's the best offensive player on the team.
Besides Wheeler,
right.
Yes.
But, like, the impact that has at the three spot in the lineup is so big.
But this is the thing. I always thought we were going to get something like this Bryce. Like, I don't know. I didn't know if we were going to get, quote, MVP Bryce. I thought we were going to get a difference-making Bryce Harper. I never really doubted that part of it. Like, in the playoffs, I've always thought, okay, when you're in those moments, Bryce Harper's going to be there, and Bryce Harper's going to produce, because he always does. He's shown us that the last 3 years. In the biggest moments, he's ready, he's there, he's going to come through. But the bottom line, man, is Bryce doesn't play left, he doesn't play center. You still have all these spots in your lineup that are holes offensively. You still have a bullpen. Well, let's face it, the bullpen's kind of a disaster. You have Kirkering. Aside from that, there's nobody that I feel like overwhelmingly confident in. I mean, Strom's up and down. You have holes there, so Bryce, it's a step in the right direction, but it doesn't solve all the Phillies' problems.
No, it doesn't, and I think that there's still things that you can do, but to have Bryce hitting, well, having the day that he had and giving his team a little bit of juice, it makes you feel comfortable knowing that if they do make moves and they do bring in another bat, that he could potentially contribute to what they're trying to accomplish right now. That's what you look at. I mean, the bullpen is, you know, they're going to have to probably, that's probably where they're going to have to pool all their resources.
Sure.
Try to fix that bullpen.
I think you need to pour your resources in all the areas. I mean, if you
can't
just go to the bullpen, you got to. Got a lot of things you need to fix.
You can try.
I'm not going to drive around in a car that's close to breaking down every second. I'm going to go and I'm going to get that thing serviced.
But don't you think, like, if I had to give you three areas of a baseball team, starting pitching, the offense, and the bullpen, and you had to say, there's one area of the team, like if you have to pick one that's not quite up to par that you are capable of fixing at the trade deadline, which would you pick? Like, I think the bullpen is the one thing that they can easily, like, fix.
It's probably
the easiest.
Easier to fix the bullpen than it is to find a bat.
Yeah, like the offense as a whole might just be what it is. The starting pitching, you're not really going to find one. Like, if the starting pitching's bad, you're not going to find one guy who's going to change the entire starting pitching. You find, like, one shutdown closer, you change this bullpen in a massive way.
You do, but that's the thing, man, is even with Bryce playing like this, I do not believe that this offense is good enough without addressing it. Like, even if Bryce does what he does, and, I mean, he's not going to have four extra base hits every game.
No.
But this offense, even with Bryce playing as one of the best players in baseball, I still don't think it's good enough.
But look, I don't expect him to put up 13 runs now that Bryce Harper looks like, you know, look, we don't even know if we're going to keep seeing this version of Bryce. I'm assuming that we will, just based on what we saw yesterday. But you brought it up. Trey Turner didn't get a hit yesterday. Like, if you get a little bit less from Bryce than yesterday and Trey Turner's hitting like he normally does and other guys are hitting like they've been, then you have, like, you have reason to believe that the offense can be a lot better than what it's shown over the last month.
Well, and that's what they're going to need. They're going to need it to be. And Bryce hitting like he did yesterday is a step in the right direction for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Did Bryce Harper's performance yesterday make you feel better about the Phillies as a team? That's what we're asking today so far on the show. Coming up in a few minutes, we will get to Fritz versus the camera yesterday. We haven't really addressed that in detail.
Mm-mm.
We'll get to that coming up. We'll hear from Jack after his big victory yesterday. First, though, let's go back to the phones. Aaron in San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Kyle's back on the board.
Hugh, you know the relationship that I have with Kyle.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make a statement here. In all seriousness,
choked
you know,
up there, Aaron.
Kyle, I was not trying to tell you how to do your job. I have nothing but the utmost respect for you.
I don't give
and
a
the
shit.
Hard work that you put in to get to the position that you're in. Okay?
What are you talking about?
All I was doing is making an observation that yesterday I feel the ball was dropped.
I don't care.
Monster.
Get
monster
to the Phillies.
There was monster potential for yesterday.
Goodness.
So that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Awesome.
And then as for Chris from Middletown, I couldn't disagree with you more about Joe DeCamera. I actually gained some respect for Joe DeCamera yesterday because I think he's actually playing Jedi mind tricks with Fritz, and he set up that baseball event as a scheduled loss. And the reason why I have respect for him, he lost gracefully. He took the loss. He looked Fritz in the eye. He shook his hand. Unlike Fritz on the golf course, throwing his hat, shoulder slouched, throwing his clubs, couldn't look the camera in the eye after the camera beat him. So I think the camera is smarter than we all think. And Chris, for a 48-year-old man to go out there in front of all those people yesterday and get beat like he did, that takes some stones, my friend. So again, to DeCamera, and I think
so you're lauding DeCamera for going out and getting his ass kicked,
dude. I think his training it involved him soaking in the bathtub and reading "Ring the Bell." I think he put it as a scheduled loss. I think he knew. I don't think he expected to win the golf match. He won the golf match. He's playing with house money. And I think he took the scheduled L. And now you've got Fritz that all of a sudden wants to be the sportsman of the year and be the gracious winner, but he can't be a gracious loser. And I think that's Joe's plan, is to get him to become overconfident, so when they go into the next match, Joe mentally is going to have the upper hand again.
Mm. I don't know, Aaron, and I appreciate the call. I mean, I think Joe certainly likes to play mind games.
Oh, he
that's,
definitely does.
That's a little too deep, though. I don't think this was
you
a
don't
scheduled.
You think Joe is that deep?
No, I don't think Joe had a scheduled loss here. I think Joe honestly thought he had a real chance yesterday, and I did too. I thought that Jack was going to struggle.
I don't know about that. I don't know if Joe really thought that he had a good chance. I think he was going to go out there and be a good sport. I think he was more counting on a meltdown from Jack. Because let's be honest, Jack has more of a baseball background than Joe DeCameron.
Of course.
Like, and Jack, my biggest thing was going into this, bat speed's an issue. Like, if Jack could get it over the plate, I didn't think if Joe did make contact that he would knock it out of the park or hit it hard enough. But it come to find out that his feeble attempt to run was his biggest failure.
Well, and we'll get to that. We'll get to the running part of it. But I'll just say,
oh, my bad, I was
No, you're good. I just I gotta give Jack a little bit of credit here. I do.
Yeah, because Jack did his thing.
I was heavily on the DeCamera side going into this competition. I thought Jack was going to struggle to throw strikes. Jack performed well yesterday, and I think even more important for Jack than winning the competition and beating DeCamera. From all indications, Jack actually looked good throwing the baseball. And I think that was more important. We talked about it, Kyle. This was a style points game for Jack. And he was able to do it in a style points fashion. Yep. I mean, the fact that the velo apparently looked good, Jack preserved his reputation as a baseball guy. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing for him coming out of this.
Definitely style points for Jack. No moral victory for Joe for making some contact?
No. I mean, he went 0-for-8. Like, he didn't reach base. There's no moral victory in that.
Okay.
Did you really think he was going to reach base, though?
Honestly, no. I thought his best path to victory was going to be just sort of letting Jack miss the strike zone. Doesn't seem like he did. Joe was actually taking swings. I got to give him credit for that, for trying to make contact with the ball. Apparently he was. I mean, apparently he was putting the ball in play a fair bit. I think there's a little bit of a moral victory there for Joe.
And I'll say this, for all the talk about Jack being mentally weak, there was a lot of pressure on him yesterday. He went out there and got the job done. I mean, 22 out of 30 pitches being for strikes, that's a good ratio there. So he deserves credit.
You know, I like Jack. I do. But I think that still kind of applies a little bit.
Oh, you do? You're not convinced that mentally he's good?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of still applies, because if it would have went the other way, then Jack probably would have melted down. I probably wouldn't have came to work today. Because it would probably have been a little scary if he'd have got.
You're scared of Jack?
No, I'm just saying, I'm scared of him going postal.
Yeah.
going postal, yeah.
What's he gonna do?
Well, Jack was obviously very excited after the victory yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
It was a good day. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to feel my elbow tomorrow. We left it all on the line. But, man, we had to do what we had to do. Could tell early it was going to go a certain way. If as long as I threw strikes,
yep.
I felt pretty confident. But man, 8-0. I'm glad it was 8-0. I'm glad I didn't mess around and hit him.
Yep.
You know, I wanted straight domination, and I got straight domination.
So Jack got the job done. He was able to dominate the camera.
I like the bravado.
Yeah.
Like the bravado. What's the next event that they got coming up?
They got tennis up next.
Yeah, that was going to be pretty interesting. I think that this was good for Jack because it helped boost his confidence.
Right. Now, I do think there are things maybe from this event that we can apply to future events here. Because one of the big stories to come out of this was Joe, when he did have to run to first base. Here was yesterday on the afternoon show, them talking about Joe and how he looked out there athletically running after he did put the ball in play.
So at bat number 2, first pitch, swinging strike.
Yep.
Second pitch, Joe DeCamera, easy ground ball to third base. Third baseman takes his time, throws him out. And here's where I noticed that Joe DeCamera was in real trouble, because I had to watch him run. Now, you get, as you said, I give Joe DeCamera credit. He stepped up there against a guy who had, you know, pitched in college. You know, we all say Joe's not an athlete. He's not an athlete. But, man, you can tell the guy's not an athlete by the way that he runs. He runs like somebody is holding his shoulders back.
Yeah.
He runs legs and stomach first.
Yeah, like crotch first.
Crotch first?
Yeah, like he's got a force field in front of his crotch or something.
Wow.
Now, I've not seen the footage of Joe running.
I need to see that, because I can't imagine.
I can picture it.
Well, we saw
easily.
a still photo. We saw a still photo of this yesterday.
Wait a minute. He said legs and
it's
stomach
a belly run.
I'm trying to imagine that. I can't imagine that. Somebody needs to give me a visual.
I mean, like, I thought the description was pretty good. Like he said, like someone's pulling his shoulders back, and he's running.
I can see it now, Kyle. You mean like he's
yes.
like...
Well, it's a weird way to run. Like most people, when you're running, you're leaning forward.
Now I have to ask, are the arms flapping? It like side like this? like I'm doing it for the YouTube people. Yeah. Are the arms flapping like this? Because if the belly's out and the arms flapping, that's a bad look.
It doesn't sound like a very aerodynamic
or athletic
run.
Now, is there any chance Joe is playing possum with the running?
Well, that is an event.
To maybe,
playing
bust out
possum?
His,
no.
Have a different running style for the running event.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's... I think he has zero chance at the running.
Now...
His path to victory is tennis and basketball. Well, he needs to win those both.
I don't know, because if... I don't know what Jack's lateral movement is like, but... Now I'm kind of questioning whether or not DeCamera has lateral movement. Does he play tennis? Is he a tennis guy?
I think he does.
Okay, so okay, he might be in his wheelhouse then.
Well, this is the thing, and I think now Jack has swung back to being a massive favorite in this thing. And I was on DeCamera. I thought DeCamera was going to win this, and I thought maybe win tennis, and that was his path to victory. But we all can agree, Joe is the, I think, favorite in tennis. Jack is almost a dead ringer to win the running. It's going to come down to basketball.
Wait a minute, they're running?
Yeah, they're running. They're running a sprint against each other. That's the fourth event.
Oh, wow.
And then
yeah, that's a wrap.
And then it comes down to basketball. And, hey, I mean, unless Joe just shoots the lights out, Jack is just bigger, he's stronger, and he's more athletic than Joe. So I think Jack now has the inside track pretty significantly.
From what I hear, though, DeCamera is he's like a sharpshooter out there.
Yeah, he can shoot the free throw.
Well, he's going to have to make shots from the outside. That's going to come
horse?
Down to.
They're playing like it's like horse, right?
No, one-on-one.
Yeah, I think it's a one-on-one.
Yeah, one-on-one. And
you mean one like DM
it's
up?
It's supposed to be an athletic competition. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Joe's going to need to get some stops defensively, and he's going to need to shoot the lights out. I think this is probably going five. I think that's going to basketball. Yeah. And let's face it, that in itself, not great for Jack. I mean, he should have wrapped this thing up in less than five. But I think tennis and running, each of them are prohibitive favorites in each event.
So. You mean for Jack?
Yeah, I think Joe is the favorite in tennis. I think Jack is the favorite in running.
Gotcha.
So that's the way I view it. Would you guys disagree with that?
No, Jack. I think Jack got him in running. Because especially if he's running like he with his stomach out first and his arms flailing.
I don't think massive favorite, though. I think, like, I'll say minus 200.
For the rest
for Jack
of the event?
To win.
Okay. I would take Jack at those odds, I think, actually. I think he looks pretty good at this stage. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Zoe and Bluebell. What's up, Zoe?
Zoe.
Morning, gentlemen. All right, I'm going to say Bryce did his thing last night, man. He, you know, I don't doubt him at all at any time, but at the end of the day, same team. Listen, it's a front-running squad that doesn't work well under pressure. Mm. The only person on our team that does well under pressure is Bryce. And if we seriously consider in doing anything, you know, end of the story is this. If we continue to do the same things over and over and over again, it's true definition of insanity. We won't get into the play. I mean, we won't get past the first round of the playoffs. So if we bring in another bat, hopefully somebody who doesn't shrink in the moment. Because if you think about it, all the people that we left on base prior to last night's game were those pressure situations. We could get hits. We could load the bases. We could put two people on. The amount of people we leave on base is just insane to me. But it's like we'll have somebody at bat who wants to swing for the fences or just not play smart. It's like, hey, just get the ball and play and let's do the right thing. So basically, I don't feel like we're going to go anywhere. Two nights ago, I mean, the ref stole a game from us. We just flat out gave a game away the night before last. I just see the same things happening over and over and over again. And to be honest, the bat that we need is not even somebody who hits 300. Just somebody who has that mindset that, hey, I'm a dog. I'm going to do what it takes to win. I'm going to get on base. Someone mentioned earlier, Pete Rose. We need a Pete Rose, Big Poppy, somebody that's, you know, can voice their opinion in the locker room. Basically, somebody who can do what our man did. And that's have a set of stones and just get the team pumped up.
Well, why do we keep... I don't understand why we keep coming back and blaming the manager when it's the players. Like, the players just aren't good enough, man. Like, you really think this is a Rob Thompson motivational issue?
All right, hear me out. Now, I was with Rob for a hot minute, and then... 2 days ago, when the afternoon show had him on and had a conversation with him, and he said something, when he talked about Kirkering,
he was like, yeah, you know, Kirky wasn't getting any calls, and, you know, I thought he was going to say something. I'm like, man, it's your job to say something. You know, that's the thought that came to me in my mind. It's like, at some point, you need to be the one to stand up and take that hit, even if you're not that kind of guy. You just, you can't command respect. Like, if I was a hitter, I don't care how much money I'm making, and I'm a hitter, and I'm on the team, and I keep doing same dumb stuff over and over again when I got a runner in scoring position, if the hitting coach is not going to do anything about it and the manager is not going to do anything about it, because you know what? There's no repercussions. I got nothing to worry about. I can still do what I can do, whatever I feel like doing, and still make the same money, because there's nothing's going to happen.
But, Joe, I don't know. Like, this is the thing, though. I don't
agree with that.
What do you want him to do? Like, who does he have to replace these guys with? Like, if somebody makes a mistake, what is his recourse when he doesn't have anybody on the bench who's any good?
I think it's not even about making a mistake, because mistakes happen. You know what I mean? An error in the field happens. But when they continuously happen, you got to be willing to set somebody down. You have to. Even if you don't have a better replacement, you have to show that you're willing to do something.
My
point.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Zoe.
I was going to say, when Castellanos got sat down for that one game for mouthing off, doing whatever he wasn't supposed to be doing, that sent a message to him and got a little fire under him. I mean, it's like, hey, he actually did something. I respect it. We lost the next game, and could he have made a difference? Probably. But you have to be willing to take some of those hits in order to get your team in line. And I don't blame him for the things that are out of his control. I don't blame him for that. I don't blame him for the loss the night before last. I don't blame him for that. But I do blame him when he's not holding the team accountable for poor decisions. Poor decisions is the issue.
I got you, Zoe, and I appreciate the call. But this is the thing. Like, you got to pick your spots. Like, you can't be the guy who's just, okay, sat Castellanos down a few weeks ago. If you start doing that every night and just changing your full personality to, oh, now I'm going to be this hard manager, that's not something that people are going to respond well to. I mean, Hugh, as a former player, like, you knew your coaches. You kind of got to be authentic to yourself a little bit, right?
Yeah, you can't just be out there yelling and screaming just to be yelling and screaming. I just find it funny when people say that, and they always invoke something that somebody did in the past. That's the past. These kids don't respond to that now. Perfect example is Coach Sirianni. I was talking to a friend of mine the other night, and he was asking me, what did I think about Coach Sirianni when he first got here? He said he was a bubblehead. And now he's a Super Bowl winning bubblehead, but he found a way to connect with those kids in that locker room. And as we've seen, a lot of times he's emotional. He could be overly emotional, but it resonates with them. And sometimes he has to pull it back. You can't, I'm telling you, because the dynamic has changed, and I don't think people realize that. That back in the day when they used to do all that, that's when the coaches had full, they could do whatever they wanted to do. They could cut players. They could move players or whatever. These cats make too much money for you to be talking about what used to be done in the back in the day. It's not happening anymore because the dynamic has changed. Managers nowadays make a fraction of what the players make. Basketball coaches, same thing. The coach going to get fired before you get ready to $300 million player.
Right.
So I think we need to stop saying that way. He needs to do this or he needs to light a fire upon him. No, you need to connect to that person on the level which they understand, kind of like Nick Sirianni did. And then try to get the best out of them from there. To go in there and start flipping chairs and acting all crazy, a lot of people don't respond to that nowadays.
Yeah, and it just it bothers me, this perception that a lot of people seem to have recently. Oh, the players don't respect Rob Thompson.
And they do respect him.
Right, he doesn't light a fire under. Where is that coming from? This is like the new thing. And it is, I get it in baseball. Like, it's easy to just blame the manager. But this is not the manager's fault. Like, the manager does not have quality players at a number of positions. And you can rip Rob Thompson for what he does from a pitching move here or there. Bottom line is he doesn't have great options in the bullpen. Like, he's trying to cobble it together on a nightly basis. You can get mad at him for how he's structuring the lineup. But when his options in left field are, am I going to start, you know, Max Kepler or Otto Kemp or Johan Rojas or Brandon Marsh or Bryson Stott or Sosa? Like, he doesn't have great options. Yeah. So the idea that Rob Thompson is at fault, It just drives me nuts. And it's a guy who's been a good manager here. So I don't understand.
He's playing the hand that he's dealt.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's turned on him this year, where people all of a sudden just want to blame him for a lot of the things. And I just don't agree with him. 215-592-9494.
No, I wasn't about to say
that. All right, I thought you were. Sorry about that. That's good. It looked like you were about to cook. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. When we get back, Bryce Harper showed signs he might be back yesterday. We'll continue to talk whether that helped turn you back into a believer. And after the break, trade deadline rumor roundup for the Phillies. A lot of stuff coming out this morning. What players may they be targeting? Which Phillies could be available? And Dave Dombrowski's approach as the deadline gets closer, now just a few weeks away. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.